This podcast is brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or download the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store. Enjoy.
Welcome again to Tech Plus, and it's time for us to talk about all things tech. And it's been another week of eventful technology happenings, or technological happenings here in the world, not just South Africa. It's Ian with you for the next hour, as well as Kane. Hello, Kane. Hoe daar? Are you well?
It goes well. New week. I'm loving the summer now.
It's better. Winter was back briefly. Spring, and now I think we're off to spring.
I'll take a cold day with a long day.
At least the hours are longer. Yes. Okay, I get you.
I can go outside at 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock, and it doesn't feel like it should be 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock.
Yes, so yeah, that's the worst when it comes to midwinter, June or July. Hey, when it's so dark at 6. And it feels like it's 9 p.m. It's crazy. The nights are so long. But listen, just starting off with our stories for this week. I know you have a lot in your bag this week that we're going to talk about. But I think one of the big stories that broke yesterday was the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa, ICASA, ordering the pay TV operator Star Times to shut down its StarSat platform here in the country. Now, StarSat used to be called Top TV. I don't know if you remember.
I do remember something like that.
So it was like an affordable kind of DSTV kind of thing. So you needed a dish on your roof and you got your decoder. And then you've got channels, you know, some other channels to watch. A bit more variety than your usual SABC things. But anyway, what happened was their license expired. They needed a pay TV license. It was valid for 15 years, and it expired in last year already, 2023, in July.
Jeepers.
So that means technically they've been broadcasting
illegally
for more than a year. I wonder why they're only pulling the plug now. But anyway, they said they submitted an application for a new license, but it was too late. And it was never granted. And now they say it's time to wind up its affairs here in South Africa. So I think, you know, some dishes will be falling off soon.
That's crazy. So now people will actually have a dish on their roof that's completely useless.
Yeah. And also, I mean, what if you're paying? What if you have like a debit order and stuff? How's that going to work? Will they just cancel it as well?
I think you're going to hear stories about debits going off even after they closed down. And like, where does that go?
But also, how can they run illegally for more than a year and only get shut down now? I mean, that's quite a long time.
Because the license is a piece of paper, but the equipment is solid.
Yeah.
So the equipment's running.
Maybe they're like, you can't switch off our satellite because you don't know where it is. Our main satellite. Good luck trying to find it. Can't switch us off.
They hit it. So now they're completely shut down.
Well, no, they're supposed to shut down because the authority released a statement also saying that they're broadcasting illegally and they should be shut down. But StarSat's saying, excuse me, we're not going anywhere.
Really?
Yeah, it's a CEO Debbie Wu said, we can assure you and the public that we will not be closing our operation anytime soon. So they've now become pirates.
That's
you know,
wild.
like the pirate radio stations.
So
in the 80s.
So their stance is essentially, we've applied for it, but we haven't been granted it, and you're shutting us down for something.
Yeah, so they're probably going to go to court now and stuff. I don't think it will be shut down soon, but it's still possible.
That's crazy.
I don't think it's a very strong financially strong company, so who knows what's going to happen.
Nothing like a little bit of politics to start your...
But if you have a StarSat dish, start worrying.
Unscrew it.
Use it for a bra or something.
I don't think you can do it to bra that. Speaking of interesting tech. It's unfortunate that that South Africa tech has to be shut down. But here's a quick highlight on some tech that South Africa is actually responsible for that you might not have known about. Here is some of the people behind South Africa's best tech inventions. We have quite a few things, actually. We have the CT scan, which was co-invented by Alan Cormack. Have you ever had a CT scan?
What on earth is a CT scan?
I believe a CT scan is like how you get brain scans and parts of the body.
Oh, my word, yes. No, you're fortunately not, eh? And you?
No, I think you have to go in like an, do you have to go in an MRI machine? I think you do.
They push you into that tunnel thing.
Yeah, I think you have to.
Yeah, I've never been in one of those. Have you been?
No, it's like a big organ x-ray.
We're very lucky, hey? A lot of people have been in those machines and they say it's bad, especially if you're claustrophobic.
Oh, I can only imagine. And it's also magnetic. So they tell you, like, you can't wear any, don't go in with any kind of anything that's.
What if you have a pacemaker?
You're not allowed. Absolutely not allowed.
So how do they scan you if you have a pacemaker?
Carefully.
Gotta stand up.
Very carefully.
But also, the doctors always run out when they use that machine. So you gotta wonder.
How good is it for you if they, like, leave it?
Even
the
dentist, have you ever noticed? Now, I'm just going to do an x-ray quickly. But don't worry, it won't do anything. It's
from
not harmful.
Don't worry, it's okay.
Yeah, and then boom, he's gone. I've always wondered about that.
That's very true, eh? Yeah, so CT scans co-invented by Alan Cormack in South Africa. That is something I didn't know. That is something I don't know. Then we also have the radar-based speed gun by Henry Johnson. Somerset West local Henry Johnson introduced the world's first radar-based speed gun in 1992. Johnson initially built projects for the SA Navy using sonar technology. He later developed radar technology able to measure the speed and trajectory of projectiles in flight, which would be adapted by militaries in dozens of countries. Johnson realized that the invention had an application in sports and founded an engineering company called Electronic Development House in 1989 to commercialize the system. The speed gun was launched in 1992 and could accurately measure the speed and angles of fast-moving objects like cricket or tennis balls. He developed the speed ball specifically for measuring cricket ball speeds in flight. It was officially launched in the 1999 Cricket World Cup. That is insane, eh?
That's really cool.
In subsequent years, he used the technology to create the racket radar for measuring tennis players' serving speeds, followed by the flight scope used to track the movement of golf balls in three dimensions. These technologies are widely used, and Johnson's company has also accredited a supplier to Arms Corps, the defense procurement agencies in several countries. That I did not know. Man, has been cooking up.
We have some remarkable people coming from this country. I mean, just look at the world's first trillionaire, soon to be Elon Musk.
Oh yeah, straight out of,
you know, he's going to be the world's first trillionaire.
That's insane.
Soon, eh?
That's absolutely insane.
Very soon.
We have an online ticket booking system by Percy Tucker. Benodi not only delivered South Africa's first Oscar-winning actress, but also the birthplace of a pioneer in entertainment booking systems. Percy Tucker was exposed to theatre entertainment from an early age with his family home across the Benoni Town Hall. At 10 years old, he rented out his family home lounge suit in a touring theatre company for which he received tickets in exchange. After completing his schooling at Benoni High School, he obtained a BCom degree from Wits University, and in 1942, he began working as part of the backstage crew at the East Rand Theatre Club, where he would later be promoted to stage manager. Tucker opened South Africa's first professional theatre office and centralised ticket booking agency, Show Service, in Johannesburg in 1954.
Sure, that's very cool.
That is literally, that's being a tech advocate in pre-1960.
Yeah, no, he was ahead of his time.
That's really, really cool.
That's impressive. Massive respect.
And then also some other noteworthy South African inventions and breakthroughs. Are you ready? Delossi, these oddly shaped tetrapod concrete structures were devised in East London by Ether Eric Mowbray and Merrifield or Aubrey Kruger in 1963 and are used around the world to dissipate waves and protect coasts against erosion. Have you ever seen those massive, like, it almost looks like an asterisk or something like that. It's like strange object.
Wow.
That was made by South Africans. Cheap thin film solar panels. Former University of Johannesburg professor Vivian Alberts developed a thin film solar module which can be made from basic raw materials, significantly reducing manufacturing costs. I told you South Africa would lead to like solar-based breakthroughs. You know, leave us without power, we're going to make a plan. Commercialization of coal to oil liquefaction. While it did not invent this technique, Sasol built the world's first large-scale CTO plant and proved it was commercially viable to make oil and transport fuel from coal.
Hmm.
And then Prattley Putty, the versatile epoxy putty adhesive, was invented by George Prattley and chemist Frank Robinson. In addition to its widespread use in construction, the putty was used on NASA's Ranger spacecraft, which took the first close-up images of the moon's surface. Wow! Yo. Not bad for a South African.
Hey, not bad at all. That's brilliant, eh?
That
We've
is
got some
really,
amazing
really cool.
talent. Even when it comes to music in this country.
We do.
Incredible talents. Yeah.
Who's your favorite South African musician?
Oh, I've got a few, eh?
If you had to pick three.
Oh, no, Man King. Why are you doing this?
On the spot.
Just like it.
While you think about that, are you ready for some of your more news?
Yes.
Cell C has been dragged into a spectrum war. Vodacom and Telkom have registered concerns about Cell C transferring control of its spectrum licenses to Blue Label Telecoms due to the company's spectrum pooling deals with MTN. A public hearing was held on the 19th of September to discuss Cell C's application to transfer control of its network, service and spectrum licenses to its bigger stakeholder, Blue Label subsidiary. Cell C filed the application because the prepaid company wishes to increase its shareholding in the mobile operator from under 49.5% to 63.2%. The application includes all of Cell C's radio frequency spectrum in the 2100, 1800 and 900 megahertz bands. Spectrum is the lifeblood of any wireless network carrier. It's the raw bandwidth they use to communicate between their towers and customers' devices like smartphones. In May this year, Vodacom launched legal action against the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa, or KASA, after learning that the regulator had approved spectrum pooling agreements between MTN and several other players. According to the court papers, ICASA allowed MTN to pool spectrum belonging to Cell C and Liquid Intelligent Technologies within its own. Vodacom said ICASA erased and basically they said Vodacom basically Vodacom created legal action against against the spectrum and the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa. For allowing the spectrum to be consumed by a majority player. It's crazy because for me, it's quite interesting that, you know, as an operator like Vodacom or Telkom, and you're regulated by a regulator, often these bigger companies actually have to go and shout to the regulator, hey, look what he's doing.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
And then they go and regulate it. It doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem right.
To know.
You know?
Yeah, I agree.
And on that note, I think it's not the only thing that has an industry where it's like that, where you have some industry that's regulated, but the participants of the industry, the companies in the industry, are beyond that of the regulator in the industry. So, for example, SpaceX has slammed, but hasn't sued the FAA yet. The Federal Aviation Administration can't keep pace with the commercial spacecraft industry, was something that he said. And he also went on to say that it lacks the resources to respond to mission changes. SpaceX said in a letter sent in a response to a $633,000 in federal fines for launching two missions with unapproved changes. SpaceX owner Elon Musk has promised to sue the agency, but it seems as if they were still on the strongly worded letter phase of this particular feud. But they went on to post, SpaceX posted on Twitter saying, or X saying, for nearly 2 years, SpaceX has voiced its concern with the FAA's inability to keep pace with the commercial spaceflight industry. It's clear that the agency lacks the resources to timely review licensing materials, but also focuses its limited resources on areas unrelated to significant change. So that's very interesting for me. It's like, it's not the only place that's feeling the pressure of technological advancements beyond that of the scope of the regulator or the regulating bodies who are to do this. And I always remember when we were learning, you know, right back in the day when we were learning a lot about crypto, one of the guys that we were speaking to said to us, if you don't regulate yourself, someone else will step in to regulate you. But we're kind of getting to the point now where people step in and regulate, but
yeah,
the markets are advancing so quickly, technology is advancing so quickly that the regulators can't keep up because they're not making money
and
in
they don't
industry.
Have eyes everywhere.
They don't have eyes everywhere.
Yeah.
So we have one person shouting at the regulator that this person is doing something, and one person shouting at the regulator that that's doing something, and then you have someone like SpaceX who gets large fines, you know, $500,000 fines, for certain things not being right. I guess it's a very tricky place to walk when you're dealing with everything that Elon Musk would be dealing with, which is brain implants, you know, Neuralink, extraterrestrial travel, you know, leaving Earth, becoming an extraterrestrial species, electric cars. I mean, this guy's literally at the forefront of many regulating industries. But I thought that was very, very interesting.
And now that you mention Elon, I mean, he and fines, he was actually fined again this week. Twitter or X was fined for briefly being open again to Brazilians, because it's been banned in Brazil. But there was a server change or something, and then Brazilians were able to access it just briefly on Wednesday. And
boom.
So he was fined, yeah, fined again. But now it's been banned again as well, so they can't access it now. Don't they? I mean, can't they just use VPNs to access it if they really want to?
Yeah, you would think that, right?
I'm sure they can, man.
I'm sure.
Maybe, you know, just your average person doesn't necessarily know how to use VPN. Or want to pay for it if you have to.
Yeah. Well, here's also something very interesting. You know, the new iPhone 16 is coming out.
Yeah. And you can pre-order it soon, huh?
Yeah. So the iPhone 16 is coming out. Then you have the iPhone 16 Pro.
And Max.
And then the Max. So they're all coming out.
No, I'm all clued up, eh?
You're all clued up.
Yeah. I read the brochure.
The interesting thing is, you know, you can track flights, right?
Yes.
So you can just see any flight that's happening right now. Well, some clever people on X went onto FlightAware, and they said that FlightAware has a page up tracking the UPS planes loaded with iPhones heading to the US for Friday's launch.
Clever.
Assuming roughly 300,000 iPhones fit in a 747-8F, just one group planes near Alaska was hauling $2.3 billion worth of iPhones this morning.
Oh my word.
Wow. Can you imagine loading a plane with $2.3 billion worth of iPhones that are definitely sold?
Yeah.
And that's just one plane.
Yo.
On this radar, there are four planes.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't even think of it, you know, tracking the flights to kind of see where the phones are.
How crazy is that?
I mean, who thought of that?
Twitter people.
Lots of time on their hands, but I think
lots of time on your hands.
Yeah, but I think it was clever.
That is crazy. Speaking of clever or not so clever, apparently Mr. Beast has been sued by 5 contestants from his upcoming Prime Video reality competition show.
Oops.
The lawsuit, which is seeking class action status, alleges multiple causes of action related to the chronic mistreatment and neglect suffered by participants of the show. In August, the New York Times reported that conditions on the show, Beast Games, have been pretty bad. So there's been reports that they're not getting fed right, that conditions are bad, that the sleeping arrangements are terrible, that the bedding is horrible. So he's literally being sued now, poor guy, unless it's truthful. Mr. Beast.
But what kind of show is it?
He has all sorts of shows. Like, he did like the Squid Games in real life show.
I mean, if they say that they're not getting enough food, I mean, if it's like a Survivor kind of show.
He does crazy stuff. Understand. He'll do like 1,000 kids versus 1,000 parents, who can stay in the box the longest.
Okay.
And then he's got to feed those people. You know, he's got to feed those 2,000 people participating. 1,000 kids and 1,000 adults. And they say when they're feeding them that food and part of the competition, then that's when they're being mistreated.
Okay.
So, very, very,
fair enough.
Weird one. On that note, is it time for a music break?
It is indeed time for a music break. Let's go. And welcome back to Tech Plus on this Saturday. Hope you're doing well and enjoying our weekly discussion on all things technology. Kane. What is next?
I've got something for you that'll blow your mind.
Okay, I'm ready.
Or at least get it pretty close to blown. So, you may never need to refill this mopping RoboVac.
Okay.
Imagine a Roomba.
How's yours?
My Roomba does well. He's living his best life.
Okay, and no escapes yet?
No.
No attempts?
No. Okay. And we need to know where the door is for that. Still trying to figure out where the house is. So, the 3iS 10 Ultra is claimed to be the first robotic mop and vacuum that never needs to be refilled or connected to a water source. It instead cleans and recycles its wastewater while also extracting all the clean water it needs from the air.
Like the moisture, almost like a dehumidifier kind
like of thing. Frozo from The Incredibles just grabs the moisture out of the air.
Okay.
And for a sure small price of $1,900 or 35,000 rand, it too can clean your house.
I'm sure it can.
And sucks the water out of the air.
I would just get a domestic worker.
Friend's going to come walk into your house and be like, it's very dehydrated in here. It's like, we've never refilled the mop, but it's just mopping every day. It's like the most busy worker.
Shame.
Oh, man, that's funny. Humidity of one.
Yeah.
That is so funny. So that's the i9-13 Ultra RoboVac for 35,000 rand. They've just found ways to make the most basic stuff that you can get so expensive. You know, like the iPhone 16 Pro, I think, is coming out at 32,000 rand now.
Oh, my word.
It is so expensive.
And the cheaper one, the entry, what's the...
23,000 rand, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so it's not...
Unless you get it on the contract, but then you'll be paying like 1,000 rand plus a month. I see Vodacom are now doing... Vodacom's doing, what do you call it? 4-year contracts now, hey?
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's a bit long, a bit of a long commitment. It's because they obviously saw that, you know, people don't need new phones every 2 years. Let's, you know, extend it a bit to 4 years.
Oh, yes.
Do you want the same phone for 4 years?
I start getting tired of my phone definitely into the third year.
What have you got now?
I have my iPhone 15.
You've got an iPhone. Okay. Are you going to do the iPhone 16 thing?
I was pretty disappointed because the iPhone 15 I thought would come out with some of the AI features, which was one of the reasons I decided to migrate. Just to find out that the iPhone 15 Pro and Plus are they going to be the only phones that get the AI features.
Oh man.
So the only option I have is to buy the iPhone 16, which I was considering because the iPhone 16 and the iPhone 15 are very similarly priced. If you consider if you bought an iPhone 15 6 months ago and you are buying an iPhone 16 now, they're very similarly priced, with the iPhone 16 Plus being quite a lot more expensive, 32,000 rand.
Ish.
But reading now, I've realized that the AI looks like it's only going to be coming out in February next year. So you're essentially buying I would be selling a phone or upgrading my phone to another phone to access AI features I originally bought the first phone to access, but still not being able to access for 4 months. So I was like,
oh no.
Nah, I'm just going to wait for the AI features to come out, and then I'll make my decision when or not I'll buy.
You have any overheating issues?
No. The main issue I had with the phone was a battery life, which seemed to be worse in the beginning and get better over time.
Yeah, you mentioned you spoke to somebody who's got a phone like it as well, and then he said his battery is even worse or something.
Oh, yeah. I was asking him how bad your battery life, and I had maybe 5-6 hours screen time, and, you know, I was recharging my phone once every 12 hours, but he would only use Duolingo for like 50 minutes, and he had no battery left. So I was like, okay, maybe my phone's not that bad. But on my next topic here, this is very interesting. How much water and energy do you think it takes to write an email using ChatGPT? You ever wondered that?
Yeah, I was wondering how. I know it's quite heavy on resources, you know, to generate stuff.
So the answer is about as much water as a single-use bottle holds. The Washington Post reports the electricity it takes is about as much as 14 LED bulbs burning bright through an hour. These are rough estimates, but they come with helpful illustrations to show the environmental costs of operating data centers for new AI tools. So a bottle of water and 14 LEDs on for 1 hour is how much it takes to generate one answer from ChatGPT.
Sure, that's quite powerful, eh?
So to tell ChatGPT to write one email will cost you a bottle of water and 14 LEDs burning bright for 1 hour. That's a lot. That is way more than I thought it would be.
Yeah,
that
certainly.
Is a lot.
Yeah.
Hey?
Definitely sure. More light bulbs.
Really opens up your eyes in terms of, like, you know, what is it that we're getting? Remember we spoke about the game that came out a while ago that was a Nintendo Pokemon competitor?
Yes.
It was called Pal World.
Okay.
And a lot of the gaming community, really, as soon as Pal World came out, they were like, oh no. You know, this is basically Pokemon copyrighted, you know? So they thought, this is it. Niantic, the creators of Pokemon, and Pokemon are going to sue the living crap out of Palworld, you know? Because why wouldn't you? They've literally created a game that's exactly like yours and called it Palworld and not Pokemon. But they didn't do anything in the beginning. And I thought, that's very strange, you know? For a game like this to come out, get mega viral, amass millions and millions of players, and just say nothing, you know, just do nothing. And then I thought to myself, I'm like, well, the only reason I could think of them doing that would be, let them earn money, so when we sue them, they have money they can pay us back. And here we are a few months later, Nintendo and Pokemon are now officially suing Palworld maker Pocket Pair. Palworld is accused of infringing multiple patent rights that belong to Nintendo and the Pokemon Company. Nintendo and the Pokemon Company have filed a patent infringement lawsuit against Pocket Pair, which makes the game Palworld. From Nintendo's press release, Nintendo Japan Representative Director and President Shotaro Fukukawa, Nintendo hereafter, together with the Pokemon Company, filed a patent infringement lawsuit in the Tokyo District Court against Pocket Pair. And the lawsuit seeks an injunction against the infringement and compensation for damages on the grounds that Palworld, a game developed and released by the defendant, infringes multiple patent rights. In response, Pocket Pair issued a statement saying that it is unaware of any patents it had violated and was not notified of such details. Nevertheless, it would gradually begin investigating the claims. It is truly unfortunate that we will be forced to allocate significant time to matters unrelated to game development due to this lawsuit. However, we will do our utmost for our fans and to ensure that the indie game developers are not hindered or discouraged from pursuing their creative ideas. So there you go, you got a multi-billion dollar game and industry attacking and suing literally a brand new business. So we'll see how that fares, but that's pretty crazy. And then, Elon Musk tried to navigate the Brazil X-Ban and ended up getting that fine. So that's unfortunate. And we also have Netflix, which has teased an animated series which is based on another video game called Splinter Cell. Did you hear about that game Borderlands?
Mm-mm.
There was a game that came out called Borderlands that eventually became a Netflix movie. So they made a movie based off of a game. But it got the worst kind of feedback for some reason. People were really, really unhappy with it. And do you know the movie or the series on Netflix, I think it's on Amazon, called Fallout?
Mm-mm.
Well, Fallout was also based on a game.
Okay.
But it got really good reviews. It was really, really popular. People really, really liked it. So I'm always is it going to be a hit or is it going to be a miss if you're making another video game another movie based on a video game? And that's what Splinter Cell is going to be. It's a Splinter Cell series. It's based on the Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell series. And I guess it's going to be a Netflix animated series. So there's another game that's coming out. And also we have Microsoft, which has launched a Windows app for iPhones, Macs, and Android devices.
How would that work?
I haven't seen a Windows app in a while on our devices. So apparently Microsoft is launching a Windows app today for Mac OS, iOS, iPad OS, web browsers, Android devices, and even Windows PCs. The Windows app is essentially a hub for streaming a copy of Windows from a variety of sources, including Windows 365, Azure Virtual Desktop, Remote Desktop, and more. The new Unfuried app has been in testing for nearly a year and includes a customizable home screen, multi-monitor support, and USB redirection so you can use local devices like webcams, storage devices, and printers if they are plugged in directly to a cloud PC. This Windows app is limited to Microsoft Work and School accounts and is primarily designed for existing users of remote desktop clients for Windows and other operating systems to move to. Microsoft has had similar apps for connecting PCs remotely in Windows for decades, including the Remote Desktop Connection app that still ships as part of Windows 11. So I don't know if you've known this, but there were some really cool features built into Windows 10 and 11, and one of them is the Windows Assist. So if you are, let's say my friend or my parents or something like that are having a lot of trouble trying to navigate the PC, get something done. Well, they can just go to Windows Assist, enter in a code, and now I can control their PC and help them fix their problem.
And
that's kind of what we're talking about here, except in this case, it's a way for you to access your own PC on the fly.
Yeah.
So a Windows app that lets you access your computer and do things on your computer, even if you're across the world and doing other things. I didn't expect an app from Microsoft, but I do appreciate that. That's pretty cool. It's like a remote computer controller where you can access your computer. Maybe you need to a file or something from somewhere. Maybe you can only check your email on that computer. Maybe there's a, you know, maybe there is someone at home that you need to speak to, and you use a webcam to see that person, to speak to them. So there's all sorts of things that you could probably do. But I thought that was very, very interesting. And here is something crazy. How much RAM do you have in your computer? Do you know?
A solid 8.
You have 8 gigs of RAM.
Stop laughing.
And do you feel like you're short on RAM?
Absolutely.
Really? Do you feel it every day?
Yeah. I'm also reminded of it when I hear the fan, you know, increasing. How much? Okay, you obviously have an insane amount. How much have you got?
Well, before I tell you how much I have, I've just seen that Microsoft Flight Simulator has announced what it thinks is a good amount of RAM for you to have to be able to play the game.
It must be a lot, because that thing is very heavy.
64 gigs of RAM.
Oh my word. That is, it won't even open on my computer.
So, you know, to get 64.
Have you got 64?
I do have 64 gigs of RAM.
What?
Yeah, it was a massive decision I had to make, and I didn't make
it
for the game.
You have 64 gigs of RAM.
I do.
You just think of an app and it opens.
It is like there.
No, it doesn't even open. It just appears.
It's a different world.
Yes, sir. That must be amazing. That thing must be so smooth, eh?
Yeah, but I think I had to. It was an investment. It was like buying a little mini laptop for your computer.
64 gigs of RAM. That's like 8 times more than I.
232 gig sticks.
Jeez. So you can play Flight Simulator.
I could. I didn't do it, so
Flight
I could.
Flight Simulator is so cool. I mean, I can understand why it's so heavy. I mean, have you seen the graphics on the new Flight Simulator?
And it's like
it's so real, hey? It's crazy.
And also, it has a map of the Earth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, flying around a one-to-one Earth.
Yeah, it's amazing. Hey, imagine with a decent screen, that game must be a dream.
It must be a dream. I mean, some people have those ultra wide screens. It must feel like you're really in a
plane. Yeah, imagine if you're like into airplanes and you want to be a pilot.
Flight simulator on a budget is you just have your brother like shake your chair. Simulate turbulence.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
But you can put VR headsets on and you can do all sorts of stuff in there.
That's insane.
But good luck finding 64 gigs of RAM on the fly.
Where the heck did you find it?
I had to really hunt.
Or you know someone.
And the crazy thing is on the newer motherboards, when you start getting to like that amount of RAM, you need to make sure that your board and your RAM can run stably. So it's not just a quick little thing to get that amount of RAM. So yeah, if you are a Flight Simulator kind of fan, you are considering getting the most out of it, you better get prepared to buy a 64 gig RAM PC.
But listen, you probably have like millions of tabs open and you don't even feel it, eh? I mean, like Chrome being so RAM hungry, you don't even notice it, do you?
No, and the crazy thing is I did it because we work with mega huge files.
Uh-huh.
And I think I would explode if I didn't have 64 gigs of RAM. I had to work with those files.
Just the productivity, hey? And for me also, you know, if you add up all the time that you spend waiting for something to open or load, I mean, if you add it up, it takes down your productivity every day.
It's a lot. It's so much so that I don't know a PC not to be instant, because we work
lucky
with
boy.
It. We have to.
Yeah.
You know, you have to. You can't. The productivity you require. So it makes a big difference when you find that sweet spot and you can use your PC flawlessly.
So what will happen if I put you in front of a 4 gig RAM computer? Will you just pull out all your hair, or what will happen?
It would be snapped in half in moments.
Really? So that will be the way to make
it
you snap?
It would frustrate me. I would really get irritated. I would.
And with ADSL internet and 4 gigs of RAM, let's see how you do. Let's see how long you can do that.
Ancient Japanese torture for nerds. Absolute, the worst thing you could imagine.
I want to see that. That should be like a reality show.
Making people deal.
People used to. Because you know what they say? They say if you want to know the true someone, put them in front of a slow computer with slow internet and see what they do. Then all the rage comes out.
You can't.
I want to see that.
If you try and push the current content that we consume through the little channels we had back in the day, you know, 5-10 years ago, if you consider internet speed as a thickness of a cable, the amount of content we have right now wouldn't be able to go through that thin little cable. The whole world wouldn't be able to use
it. It would take forever as well, and you would just pull out all your hair and be completely bald.
So this is something really cool. PlayStation's got its 30th year anniversary coming up.
Okay.
And obviously it's also got the PlayStation 5 Pro coming out, which is essentially like the souped up PlayStation, right? The new and improved, more damage, more power PlayStation. And they've made a skin, a limited edition version of this PlayStation that looks exactly like a PlayStation 1.
Oh, my word.
Exactly like a PlayStation 1.
Oh, wow.
So there is a PlayStation 5.
Love it.
I would love a PlayStation 5 that looks exactly like a PlayStation 1.
A vintage one, yeah.
Look at the controller cable. It's even got that vintage PlayStation 1 controller cable.
Man. You know what? Now that you mentioned controller, I don't know if you saw that there was an update this week, in recent days, of that ocean liner that went under the ocean.
Oh, yes.
And the guy, you know, they fired that one guy because he was like almost like a whistleblower.
Yes.
And he was in court.
You're talking about the Titan sub.
Yes. And this guy was in court and he said he knew about weaknesses and problems with that thing long before the people went down under the sea. And then he was fired. So they knew the risk. And apparently also the last line that came from the last like message that came from the Titan was all good here or something like
that.
All good here. And then there's also a picture of the cone, the nose of the thing on the sea, on the floor of the sea, on the sea floor. And yeah, also, the controller was also on the floor. No, I'm joking.
Imagine that survived and they didn't.
Imagine, like, oh man, listen now. Somebody on Facebook said, no, those weren't the last words. The last words were, I need a new controller.
My controller's broken.
Because, I mean, that's ridiculous. That controller they had, I mean, the whole thing's ridiculous. And I feel so sorry for the young guy who went on there and his dad kind of forced him to do it.
I know, and they were like, don't be scared, nothing's going to go wrong. And apparently they left that
I wouldn't go.
So, you know, the submarine, they left it unattended in the sun for like 2.5 weeks, apparently.
Oh, my word.
Just baking in the sun, and it snowed.
What?
So it had baked in the sun during the day, snowed at night. Baked in the sun during the day, snowed at night. So, and the funny thing is they're finding all this stuff out now, and they're like, somebody needs to be punished, but the guy's gone. You know, he didn't make it. The inventor, the person who did all the negligence, disappeared with the victims who were subject to that negligence.
And we're back with Tech Plus on your Saturday. Kane, what do you think of Meta putting Instagram users under the age of 18 into new teen accounts? Do you think it's a good move? Do you think it's going to help?
Probably. They should have done it in the beginning. Why are they only doing it now?
So with the new, obviously they want to allow parents greater control over their activities. There will also be an ability to block children from viewing the app at night. That's pretty cool. And the change will apply to new teen users, but will also be extended to existing accounts held by teenagers over the next few months. And changes under the teen account setting include giving parents the ability to set daily time limits for using the app, which is nice.
Okay.
Block teens from using Instagram at certain times. See the accounts their child is exchanging messages with. I like that. And also being shown the content categories they are viewing. Fair enough. I like that. If you see all the stuff that's happening on Instagram, all the extortion things. I mean, I don't know if you heard recently. I mean, he was just one of many kids who, you know, they fell victim to extortionists online. You know, so you have guys from Nigeria posing as a girl and this guy starts talking to them. To the girl, but they're actually guys from Nigeria, and he talks to her, and they exchange photos, and she says, you know, send me a naughty photo. He sends her the naughty photo. Later on, these guys, posing as this girl, says, well, sorry. We're gonna leak your photo now to all your family members if you don't pay us whatever amount before whatever time. And recently there was a teenager who committed suicide like 3 hours after he got that message.
Wow.
He just took his life in his room.
Just so like scared. That.
I mean, those guys probably weren't even going to post the photo or whatever.
That's terrible.
I mean, so you see, this is where I like what they're doing
these
now.
These kind of controls. No, yeah. I completely agree with you. And it's about time. I mean, you know, parents must have an ability to monitor that
definitely
part of their, you know, you can't
it's a
be
dangerous world, man.
No, and it's social media has changed so much now. I mean, the stuff that you can find on social media is just not,
especially on X. Jeez,
X,
man,
over 80,
you like, I mean, on X you have like a recipe for chicken pie, and then the next thing you've got X-rated stuff right after it.
Yeah, and then you've got war stuff like right
yeah.
after that.
Yeah, ooh, very graphic.
Yeah, no, it's
yeah. I don't even go on it anymore.
I don't browse. No. I don't do that. Since, I don't just go into that just see what's on my For You page.
No wonder it's been banned in Brazil. Since Elon changed it to X, it's never been the same again. I'm sorry to say that.
I'm
not
a fan.
I think it's
always like that. I think people are just paying more attention to it now.
Okay.
And it's becoming a content niche. So all the things that aren't allowed on other platforms become more popular on this platform, and therefore that platform is known for having this type of content. But it's the only platform that can have that type of content. So it's a very... Yeah, they're walking a tightrope, eh?
But Elon, that's why people won't advertise with you, because they don't want to have their ads amongst... breasts and stuff.
No, they must just age restrict the content and be done with it, you know.
Yeah.
Twitter would be a great place, but it doesn't need the furthest right hand side of the content.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I'm all for freedom of speech, but come on, you know.
That's why you got to have these parental controls. Like, it's
exactly.
fine if it's there, but it's got to be completely inaccessibly you can't even stumble on it, you know.
Exactly.
So that's what I think needs to happen there. And then we have something else as well. Here in South Africa, there were some recent tests of what our 5G network is capable of in Mossel Bay's port.
What, Mossel Bay? Okay.
Yeah, shout out to Mossel Bay.
Yeah, and my brother in Mossel Bay.
Yeah, so MTN and LTE have upgraded their 5G network infrastructure at the Mossel Bay port and their testing found that this allows users to achieve impressive 5G speeds while up to 22 kilometers from land. So when 22 kilometers from land at the edge of international waters, we achieved speeds of up to 116.92 megabytes per second for single user equipment and 210 megabytes per second for multi-user equipment when using a 5G outdoor router. The upgrades to its infrastructure form part of MTM's 5G Ultra Range Maritime Coverage project, which saw the two companies partner to boost public 5G coverage out at sea in South Africa. Apparently, my broadband was invited to test it out, and that's how we got these speed tests here. But that's very cool. Yeah, that's very cool.
And in Mossel Bay, eh?
Shout out to Mossel Bay. And then also Vumatel and DFA reported a 134 million rand loss recently. Vumatel and Dark Fiber Africa, for those who don't know what DFA is, are ISPs, internet service providers, specifically fiber service providers. They recorded a 134 million rand loss in the last financial year, majority shareholder Remgro has reported. According to Remgro's annual results, contribution to Remgro's heading earnings swung from a profit of 206 million in 2022-2023 to a loss of 75 million rand. So apparently that's not looking good for Dark Fiber Africa. And I always knew Vumatel and Dark Fiber Africa to be knocking names, you know, knocking heads and taking names.
Same.
So I don't know what happened there.
What happened, yeah.
But we will, keep a close eye on it and keep you guys updated. And that brings us to the end.
Kane, you're not going to believe it. I've got one more story for you.
Tell me.
Break you it know to those... Me. Astronauts who are stuck in space, basically.
Oh, good. The 2 week mission turned lifetime in space. Yes.
Did you know? Obviously, they're going to spend voting day because they're American, so they're going to spend voting day in November in space. Did you know that they're actually going to vote from space?
Really?
Yep, it was in the news this week. They're going to cast their vote up there, and it's going to get beamed down by a satellite.
Oh, no.
So that they can also vote in the American elections.
Yes.
Yeah. So
and also it's only like, three people, so even if they fake who they voted for, it makes no difference.
Yeah, but can you imagine voting from space?
Yeah.
Can you imagine this?
That's
I mean,
cool.
They're only coming home like 100 days late in February. If all goes well, imagine it's extended again.
It's crazy because they're voting.
No.
They're voting, and then probably someone will be elected, and all of that happened while they weren't even on the planet. You know, when they come back, everything that happened in the last 6 months, they weren't on the planet. They weren't connected
to the
Earth.
You know, it's hard to grasp, eh? I'm just thinking also, you know, What if something goes wrong and they can't come back in February? Then you're probably just going to be like, I can imagine the woman saying, "Ah, we've just accepted now that we're aliens.
we've decided we're closer to the moon than Earth, so we've just decided to
stay
to vacate to the moon." That's crazy, man.
I think
that's a very likely thing, that for whatever reason the particular mission that will get them back home is delayed. But I think worst case scenario, I don't think it'll be later than March that they'll be back on Earth.
Yeah, come on.
I think it goes from being like quite a cute little story about some astronauts voting for a president to like a horrific horror story about guys that were just left in space for a year and a half.
A movie. There's definitely a movie coming.
Plot twist is like,
I think Netflix is going to buy the rights to that and make it a movie. But I'm just thinking, you know, if you spend so much time in space, won't you have any health problems when you come back to
Earth?
You're right.
But some people there've been studies that have found astronauts come back sometimes healthier, but bone and muscle have significant, you know, loss.
I'm just thinking, I mean, can you imagine with the gravity and all that kind of stuff, now you come back to Earth, I mean, maybe they're going to like permanently faint or something, or feel jelly legs or something.
If I don't jog if I jog every day for a year and then I get fit and I don't jog every day for a year, I'm going to lose a lot of the gains that I did. Now, for a whole year, they're not even supporting their own body weight.
Yeah, and also their legs aren't working, basically.
Not at all.
So imagine stepping back on Earth and now your legs suddenly have to carry your weight. I mean, probably collapse.
You're heavier in a swimming pool than you are in space.
Yeah.
So
oh, my word.
That's pretty crazy.
So you're probably going to collapse or something. I mean, can you imagine how wobbly it's going to feel? Imagine how wobbly it's going to feel when you walk on Earth again.
How gravity feels. Feeling
maybe
gravity
it's
going to
feel so
time.
Heavy on you or something.
Crawling.
Yeah. Oh, the gravity is terrible.
I can't breathe.
Bloody gravity.
Man, that's funny.
And that's another week on Tech Plus. We are crazy, we know it, and we love it. Thank you so much for listening once again. And Kane, thank you to you for popping in. Let's do it again next week, same time, same place.
Thank you so much for everyone listening, and we'll see you next week. Cheers, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This podcast was brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or through the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store.